I don't know, OCD, it's such a weird topic that I've always been trying to like understand more about myself. When I was younger, I didn't think it was from anxiety or depression. I thought it was just like my brain was like broken. I was like obsessing over all these little things. But looking back, I was like, yes, I definitely was just, I was trying to take ownership over something in my life.
Hey everyone, it's Justin, and this is the Men of the Hour podcast, where I've invited some of today's most influential men to join me in conversation around men's mental health. And today, a new friend comes to the show, and his name is Jack Wright. Jack Wright's a digital star, he's an actor, he's a mental health advocate whose name has blown up in social media. And when I say blow up, I'm talking 13 million plus followers across every single platform he has now. And of course, with the passion for mental health and normalizing that conversation for all of us to listen to at, not to mention such a young age of 20 years old, based in one of the busiest, craziest, funnest cities in the world, Los Angeles. I knew he'd be such a great guest to have on the show, especially as we kick off 2024, and many more great conversations to come. But right now, it's Jack Wright. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my gosh.
I say you're 20 years old. So here's the thing. I feel like when people look at young stars, right? Young social media stars, young actors, young anybody, we've all said the same thing. So I do want to open up this can of worms first with you that someone who's growing up in this business where a lot of times it's really hard to tell, especially right now with social media, how your career is going to like blow up or how it's going to maintain itself, right? Especially as it pertains to your mental health. Give us, especially people who haven't recognized you coming onto this episode right now, where did all that start? Even if you're just 20 now, I'm sure it started forever ago.
Oh yeah, like when did my like social media all that start?
And just your career in general when it comes to
Of course.
entertainment.
So it was weird. When I was a little kid, I did child acting, which I really enjoyed, but my parents took us out of it. It was very toxic. But I always enjoyed the industry, the entertainment industry, and like art. And I started playing sports all my life. It was high school when TikTok started blowing up. I posted a dance video with my twin, and that just like took off. We started posting more videos, and we were still doing school and track and field. And COVID happened, and that's when I did the switch from sports to like just full social media. And it kind of just went from there. I got invited to a content house, started living here on and off when I was 17, and now I'm 20. So it really hasn't been that long, but it does feel like forever ago once when I got big.
You said your parents took you out of acting because it was toxic. What was that like?
As a little kid, it's very toxic, and you hear all like the horror stories of like the child actors, like, and it was especially the parents, like a lot of the parents would sabotage the other children with like sugar to like make them crash on set. It was like little things like that. My parents were like, we get too toxic.
That's insane. Cause then I said this earlier too. It's interesting how a lot of people would look at anybody who's a child actor, social media star like yourself now. And it's hard to kind of get an understanding of what that life really is. And it's
Oh
why
my.
I've always told people, I'm like, when you're doing podcasts like this, you're able to kind of share a little bit more in depth of what's actually happening. And like you'd, I didn't, the sugar to like crash on set, that's insane, right? Like who would even think of that? So you and your twin, okay, help us understand more. So you and your twin become popular on social media, and you say it's during the pandemic that you took this pivot out from sports into what is now your life. And you're, you know, when I say life, like you guys make a lot of money on social media. That's no question about it. And like that probably will be a thing for a long time. Do you think it's happened too fast? Pandemic was like yesterday, it was like 3 years ago, you know?
I think it definitely happened very fast, but it's still like it doesn't feel, I don't know, I guess I just don't I don't think about it like I haven't come to terms with like how quick everything has happened. Because it's so weird how like my path just like totally switched from social media. I wanted to go to college for pole vault and school. I want to go to UCLA. I also wanted to join the military. And then it just like it totally switched. So that's like it was very, very trippy. So it just still doesn't, I guess, feel real, but I don't know. I really enjoy, I find like the positives and I'm thankful for everything that I have right now because it's definitely what I've always wanted to do. I always was like, oh, this is never gonna happen.
It's interesting because as I hear you say that, I'm like, is that attainable for everybody? And the answer is no. So people are listening that are like your age or have passed your age, right? I'm 27. So it's like people that are older than you still don't necessarily have the like quote unquote luck of gaining this much traction on social media from like, say it was a dance video, right, at first, but then you guys figured out some type of method to then keep it. Right. And then have it be a sustainable career. The reason I ask you to, Jack, is like, I'm not sure too many people understand how fast things move when your social media platforms take off the way that they do. So then your thoughts now around, I mean, give us an idea. Like, are you guys constantly in meetings about your career? And is it like your management handles this, that, and the third, and then you're able to. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, yeah, you are
Oh,
this, you have
totally.
to concentrate on the content, no? And then your team handles a lot of it else.
Totally. And my team handles a lot, but that's also a thing I love about my team is that they're very in touch with like with my mental health. And if I'm not feeling great, they understand we'll reschedule something. It's definitely my mental health first. And I'm very big on that. They're very big on that, which I love how that's like a it's definitely like a very much collaboration, which I think just totally benefits me. I think my thing is just constantly just staying grounded in myself and journaling every day, keeping myself, because then I won't get caught up in this fast pace lifestyle that like I'm living. I think it is like, yeah, just constantly trying to do little things that I love to do. I think that helps me get past that, you know.
We'll go back to mental health in a moment because that's literally that's got to be the biggest topic we talk about, of course.
Can't
You
believe
mentioned that you may have wanted to join the military. So I just wanted to hit on that. So like it's one
it.
thing to try and go create a pole vaulting career, but what is it? Pole vaulting, pole vaulting. You know,
Yeah.
you do that and maybe I don't know if that's a thing, right? Because you would do that in college and then go be a professional at it, right? But you could always revisit the military. Is that still something you think about?
Definitely, but I don't know anymore. I don't like yeah, I don't really know. My parents were they both flew in the Navy. So I was always like, oh, I want to be a fighter pilot like them. But now I don't know. Maybe later in life I'd say I could. If there was like a draft, I would be down to go. but I don't like yeah, I don't think that's definitely something I would love to do. I don't like when people yell at me or
Right.
I don't
Yeah, hence
like
why
being
your management team loves you so much. They're probably not yelling at you and you don't feel mentally right.
Yeah.
Do you think, I just want to go back to this for a second about things happening a little bit too fast because you're young, right? Do you, and sometimes people, it's interesting because this is pretty much relative to mental health. You oftentimes, I think when you grow too fast or you do things too quickly or your career takes off too quickly, right? It does end up impacting how old you might feel. So for those who are listening who can relate to this even, but Jack, do you ever think you are older than your actual age? And then why would that be the case?
I definitely. And I always say, I feel like LA definitely makes you grow up a lot faster than you do just because you meet. I wouldn't even say it's just that like social media, it's like it's who I've met in LA and traveling the world. I definitely feel like I've matured a lot. Just being in this industry. But also like even though I've matured, I still try to like, I don't know, find my like inner child self, you know, like by still doing what I love. So I try to find like a balance between them, because sometimes on social media, it'll be like, oh my gosh, I thought you were a lot older than you were. And I'm like, oh shoot, is that a compliment? Is that like a bad thing? But yeah, I think I try to stay, I want to stay young as possible.
It's funny you say that, because then my next thought was like maturity. So a little on maturity, then it's like, do you find yourself around people that are older than you? I'm generally curious, but I also think it adds some substance to this idea that you have like more of a mature cap on to be so young, but also to take this 13 million plus fan base, audience, whatever you want to call it, into that world with you.
Totally. Yeah. When I came here, I was definitely, and even now I feel like I've always just been like the youngest in my friend group. Now I feel like it's like more, there's a couple younger people than me. But yeah, I feel like I've always been, trying to, I don't know, fit in with like even like the older group. But I also think the age group between like 18 to even like your late 20s, I think it's, when you're in LA, it's such like a, I know, everyone's kind of the same. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't really see the age factor.
Right. I mean, I would say that's like pretty much the industry. I would say the same thing when I was living there too. Okay. So a little bit on this term OCD. So when I was reading about you, I was like, interesting. You've opened up about OCD, depression, and anxiety, yet I was like, we have to bring Jack on this podcast, particularly because I don't remember seeing you actually, like, it's one thing to be open about talking about it. And I go, okay, well, what is Jack's definition of these things, right? As it pertains to like you, and like you had said, there's days that you don't feel like working, and like, dude, that's totally okay, right? But a lot of people don't even put themselves in enough of a grace period to you know, be able to not work when they're not feeling good, things of that sort. So I guess with OCD, I mean, obsessive compulsive disorder, I believe, for the longest time that I've even been studying it on another podcast called Luminosity, it was like, there is something about that you can't, I mean, yes, a disorder, of course, right? But then to immediately tie it to depression and anxiety. Do you look at the three things separately, or do you feel like OCD, depression, and anxiety all in one are what you were struggling with or currently struggling with?
Yes, I totally agree. It's all in one, because I think the OCD is you're trying to take control over something in your life. So you pick these like little things, like these little rituals, numbers to try to make your anxiety or depression better. But I mean, it ends up just, it's like, I feel like it's just like a bad coping mechanism that I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the other day, and maybe you can attest to this too, but like when you're with your friends and people start talking about OCD, a lot of people, I mean, I had this conversation the other day, but it's like the people oftentimes are like, yeah, they relate OCD strictly to anxiety, you know, because anxiety and depression obviously like coexist, but at the same time, the OCD helps people kind of alleviate anxiety. Did you find that where it's like, hey, I'm moving, like all these things need to be super close together, and I feel like, you know, if this is not like in a perfect, like this way, that, you know, or like my desk doesn't look a certain way, then I can't really work. I'm going to get anxious about the work I have to do. It's like, you know, how do you deal with that?
At the time, like when I was younger, I didn't think it was from anxiety or depression. I thought I was just like, my brain was like broken. I was like obsessing over all these little things. But looking back, I was like, yes, I definitely was just, I was trying to take ownership over something in my life, you know? So I think it's totally caused from some sort of anxiety or depression. And yeah, I feel like, I don't know, OCD, it's such a weird topic that I've always been trying to like understand more about myself. And it's so difficult to talk about like your each like obsession, because it almost seems so irrational to some people, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. When you think of OCD, is it that you feel like it's a negative or positive thing?
Before it was, I'd say it was negative, but now like I feel like I almost like have like a toxic positivity. I try to see like all the good in life and everything.
Oh, that's interesting.
I feel like I wouldn't be the person I am without OCD. You know, it's, I think we are who we are, and we, everything that we experience, it's for the better for all of us.
Toxic Positivity
Yeah.
by Jack Wright.
Yeah.
You know, and as fun as that term could be, I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
So many of us, I think, try to commit to things being a bad thing. And you hear from the most intellectually capable and smart people in the world that it's a-okay to be, you know, bad shit in the head sometimes. I
Yeah.
think it's how you deal with it.
Yeah.
Over the years now, what have been your, I mean, I guess your coping mechanisms when you think of OCD? Because again, like folks listening right now, like you may not think you have certain things that are, you know, pertaining to your mental health, whether it's ADHD, ADD, OCD, whatever, the list goes on, right? That's not including trauma. That's not including tics and things that, you know, you just happen to do all the time. But the awareness factor is interesting. And I know I mentioned this before, and it's not even a downgrade at all, but like to be so young at 20 and have this level of awareness, and then to bring up this concept of now, like, you know, toxic positivity. But like, how do you cope with all that now?
Yeah, I'd say there's like, I definitely developed like a lot of coping mechanisms and learned a lot from therapists. Obviously, unhealthy ones and healthy ones, but I went through so many like different obsessions. That's another thing about OCD is that like your obsessions are constantly changing into new ones, or like you're adding more obsessions, or like you're taking one away, but there's a bigger obsession that you have. So you constantly have to adjust your coping mechanisms to each obsession you have, you know? And I'd say for me, it was definitely like exposing myself to the opposite of what I'm thinking, or journaling about it. That's a good one. There's a lot I used to do in my mind. I think a big one was like, if say it was like even numbers, I would do odd numbers to try to make my, I don't know. I would try to like combat it with like the opposite of it, or like exposure therapy, constantly experiencing what I don't like, you know? And then, but it's weird that almost turns it to an own obsession itself, because like, I don't know, it's so weird. That was always like very difficult for me, is finding ways to cope with it. But also I think meditation and clearing your mind, and just talking about it. I think when I was younger, I was so depressed from my OCD as well, because I felt like I was like alone. I thought there was something wrong with my head. But once I started talking to people about it, it was like, oh, this is normal. I can overcome this. There's people that have overcome this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And very well said too, because I think like everybody's personal experiences with their mental health is exactly why these shows exist. It's exactly why these conversations are pretty insightful and enlightening, for the simple fact, like, we wouldn't have known that about you otherwise, right? And I think that it's not supposed to be. What's interesting to me, and when I'm having more of these conversations on this podcast with people like you, I'm like, it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's not a heavy, sad, depressing topic. You know, that's why we were like giggling about having this like toxic positivity. Okay, so what? Like, you know, it sucks to even say aloud, like you had said, like, hey, I think something was really wrong with my head, you know?
Yeah.
And recently I've owned this term ADHD, and I even bought a book on it. I'm sure you've done the research on your own, you know, mental health journey in some capacity, right? When you discovered OCD affecting you. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And it's interesting because, okay, so give us an idea here too. Are your friends talking about these types of topics with you? Are the people you're around normalizing it as much as you are?
Totally. I think I'm blessed with like a great group in LA that are open with their mental health and accept other people's like struggles, you know, because I don't know, I feel like LA, there's so much going on. We all deal with so much. It's just finding a group that you can relate with and that is to safe space to talk about. I think that's awesome. That's what my roommates and I always say. It's like if we start talking about something, we get like a little nervous. We're always like, it's a safe space. You're allowed to talk.
Do you think it softens men? That's my biggest question on that. Like, do you think when it comes to masculinity and men particularly talking about this, especially with their group of friends at your age, to be honest, right? Because, like, I think by the time people hit 30, 40, 50, if you haven't had these mental health conversations with your buddies, your brothers, your girlfriend, your family, whoever, your therapist, like, it feels like a missed mark. And so I find so much value in that you and your roommates being so young are able to like have these conversations. But have you guys also felt at all that it challenged your masculinity by doing that?
I wouldn't think so because I feel like the people that don't do that's toxic masculinity. And that's not, I don't know. That's not even like masculine itself. It's like you're trying to overcompensate for something that you're experiencing, you know? So I think if anything, I think it's the most masculine thing you can do as a man. You
Yeah.
know.
And we've heard it from the same, especially on this podcast too. It's still confusing to me how folks aren't having these conversations. And I like you said it earlier, like your career kicked off around the same time that I believe mental health became it was more in the light as being like a worldwide crisis. And to challenge the negativity, even I feel like a lot of folks looked at it as a bad thing, so they ran from it. But as people want to embrace it, I think that that's the kind of the point. But it's interesting how like the pandemic didn't shake enough people into finding the comfort to have these conversations. Yet you, I mean, maybe it's an LA thing. You tell me, Jack, like maybe it is the fact that it's so sunny over there, but you guys are already doing this in your rooms, and so then, you can usually tell. Well, actually, think about it this way. So if you're out in public, you say you have a great group of friends, right? And for those of us who might be struggling with that, or introverts typically struggle with community anyway, right? So if we have anybody listening right now that may be struggling to find the right people to like have these conversations with, or the right people to be around, period. Have you ever felt like there was times in, I guess you can call it society, right? Real world, where you're out and about and these aren't your people. It might be a new group, it might be a new setting, or you're going to like an event where you don't know anybody or whatever. Are you somehow mentally, this is going to sound so weird, but whatever, it's mental health conversation. Like, can you
Safe.
typically tell who's, what do you say?
I said it's a safe space.
Oh, we love Jack. But Jack, listen, like, do you think you can ever identify who has worked on themselves or not based on how much work you've done on yours? It sounds like you've done so much work on yourself.
Totally. And I yes, you can totally tell. Just like I think when you conversate with someone, you know, and what they want to talk about. And but also I think like once I see people at events in LA, I honestly like I don't expect to get very deep with someone like that quick, you know. Like I think there's a lot of things for me that I hide from like the open public that I like aren't as close to my friends. I think that's another thing is keeping my circle tight because I don't know, once I start talking to too many people, I don't know, it kind of just overwhelms me and I'm like, all right, who's my closest friends? Who should I talk to? And there have been a lot of experiences where I didn't have that great of a friend group and people to talk to. And that was very, very challenging. I think that's when I like started to even more like focus on myself and start grounding myself more.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I bring up like working on yourself in that sense too is like all of it starts in the head. And I've just heard from way too many people recently, like and you said it, it's like you do have to keep a small group of people simply because sometimes like you can't mentally handle, you know, being bombarded with all these conversations or certain people. But like, do you find then that you feel like you're almost excluding yourself from like possibilities, new friendships, new relationships? And then how do you find that balance? Cause like, you know, if every time that you're in public or have an opportunity to socialize, we hear this from stars all the time. So this is actually pretty relevant. There's been many stars that are like, okay, well, I just like want to stay with my close group. And then the world though, this is crazy to say out loud, but whatever, it's a podcast, you know, we see you online at all times. And what we see online is you dancing and creating amazing content, being thoughtful with like how you're presenting yourself, like across the platforms. And then when we see you in public, you know, we're not, I don't know, like, do you think that you have to sometimes recluse in order to protect the energy? Like, is it more of an energy protection thing? Or is it that you simply just like, hey, I do this for a living and I'm just completely not into like being social bunny rabbit when I'm out in public?
I'd say for me, it's something I'm trying to work on, because I am very, what you said, social bunny rabbit. What did you say?
Just like a social bunny rabbit. Yeah, I'm the same way.
I'm very much that way. And yeah, I noticed like, I don't know, I think I just need to set more boundaries with myself, because I feel like I am. But also, I don't think it's a bad thing to like go out and like be social with everyone. Cause I mean, it's, I think I try to treat everyone the way like I'd want to be treated, especially at events, you know. And I think if someone comes up and talks to me, I'm definitely going to talk back and ask them questions and be interested. So I think that's a difficult thing too. I think there's also a difference between very close friends and like your acquaintances, I guess, in LA. Yeah, that's, it's a hard thing to balance for me. I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm a very bad, I'm not great on like responding on text message. I'm like very much in person type of guy. So it's usually people I'm living with or people that are coming over all the time. But when I'm out, it's, I love conversation. You know, I love talking with people.
Good thing we got you on a podcast that lasts about an hour.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I thought I would ask that just because like, I think a lot of times when your life gets pretty busy or you have a forward facing job, that's what it is. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people, it's going to be hard for anybody to compartmentalize that and to justify like, okay, well, this is just a busy season of my life. I don't feel like socializing, you know? And anybody who's listening now, it's like, okay, well, we all fully understand exactly how we want life to look and maybe to have a certain level of balance. But I mean, you blew up in 3 years, right? Or even the course of just a short pandemic moment. And then you don't really know what to do with that till it happens. And to manage as you go is exactly what needs to happen, even mentally, right? But I'm talking mainly towards the career. So yeah. Then as I guess is like, what do they say? Like you pick up the pieces as you're walking, it seems, right? It kind of seems like the best strategy for most people who become super popular really quickly.
Yeah.
Are you able to, in your mind, identify what's needed and what's not as this world is moving, as your world of being Jack Wright and growing that brand is like moving along?
That's what I love about, because that's one of the things I like to do is like staying present and living day by day.
Mm-hmm.
I think I love journaling because it helps you like situate yourself in your own life and understand everything that's like going on in your life right now and how you feel right now. And it just like helps you stay in the present, which I feel like I've definitely gotten a lot better at. It's just staying in the present, being in the moment, and yeah, looking at my goals. But it is difficult to like, cause there's so many things that like, I feel like I have to do, but there's like, I want to focus more on acting, but also I love social media. I still have my social life. I talk to my parents every day. My team, there's just so many things that I have to go through. It almost gets like a little overwhelming having to, like, I don't know, balance all those out, you know? You know what I'm saying?
100% as he's trying not to yawn. Listen, Jack, I think what's cool, and thank you for opening our, don't ever apologize. You kidding me? I'm glad you're yawning right as we're talking, because it's like super authentic to put people listen. It's funny. I remember, I'll tell a quick story. I think we were in season two of the show, and oh God, this is so embarrassing. I didn't fart on camera, but like the seat had farted. Okay. The seat I was sitting on had like made a fat noise, and we were interviewing someone from The Voice. It was on air. It was like, I treat these like live recordings. So like, even right now, as he's like yawning, I'm like, yeah, so what? Yeah, in the middle of the podcast. So because it's like, we're like, and you listen to podcasts, do you?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so like if you're listening to your favorite podcast, it's like, okay, well, you don't want to be interrupted. You barely want to be interrupted by a commercial break, let alone making it like the conversation sound like there was a glitch in it because someone had to delete the fart or delete the yawn, whatever. So that's why I say it's staying on the podcast. But anyway, I think with compartmentalizing what you were just talking about, for most of us, it's like it's really hard to simply identify where you should be putting that mental energy, right? And then the sole purpose of like these conversations is to just fully understand, like, hey, number one, we're all going through the same types of things, you know, some more extreme than others on like a certain level of spectrum and stuff. But like what you said is so valuable, which is like, you're busy and you are trying to manage that busy life. And question for you now, I mean, think about where you're at with this huge platform, with all your passions, with what you want to do. And I mean, do you ever take rest breaks to kind of like be in the moment? You say you live every day, like, you know, by the day. It's beautiful. Yeah. And that's a very, very powerful thing, especially when it comes to living a busy life. Yet also there's a lot of things happening in the one day. So how are you spending your solo time? How do you manage your own expectations? Because a lot of, like, you're an Energizer Bunny rabbit, right? Like both of us are. So we're giving all the time, you know? Yeah. But for anybody else who gives all the time, like, I just wanted to ask, how do you feel like you protect your solo energy and kind of have that working in your favor?
Yeah, definitely now I feel like I'm a lot like healthier at dealing with that. I'll journal or just, I think recharging by myself, I think that definitely helps, watching movies by myself. Before I would like book a random trip to like a different country or like a different state and just like stay there and travel and yeah, just be by myself, which that would help me. But that was also very like last minute. And that's when I was like spiraling. I used to spiral a lot. But now I feel like it's definitely a lot more stable where I can have like these little moments to myself. And also with my roommates, I feel like I can just recharge with them and talk and yeah.
You say spiraling. For those who don't know what that is, how would you define it?
I'd say it's what spiraling feels like. It's like you're falling down like a deep dark hole and like you can never get out, you know, or you're about to fall out. You're about to fall in that hole, but you just keep falling. You're never able to get back up out of this hole. Yeah, it just feels like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So you kind of get desperate for little things or like big things to give you a little bit of contentness.
You know? And when you feel like you're spiraling, then how did you get out of those thoughts?
Definitely just like, I think I did a lot of unhealthy things, whether it's like running away and going somewhere else. But also like it was good for me because I got to just be by myself and spend time with myself and But yeah, I don't know. What do you feel like?
Oh, I love this so much. Anytime someone asks me a question on this podcast, Megan's over here listening to him. I'm obsessed with this. Like, what would I say to that? Well, listen, you're the guest of the show, but I'll give an insight. So if I was spiraling, I mean, that looks different every time you spiral, right?
Absolutely,
That's like
yeah.
the hardest thing to deal with in your mental health
I
is
agree.
being like, what the fuck is happening in my head?
Yeah.
Why is this happening again? Was it because I didn't sleep well? Was it because I didn't eat my vegetables this morning? Was it because,
Yeah.
I'm actually a little bit more depresso than I actually think I am? Like, it's a whole thing. And oh gosh. Okay. So my first call to action has always been like, I gotta call somebody. Not
Yeah.
like a crisis line or anything. I just need to like call somebody that's, and I usually say, hey, can you listen? Can you
Yeah.
just listen? It's one of the five probably closest friends I have in my life, and that works. And then you just go at it, and you're like, what the, but it takes, it's honesty, right? It's a lot of hard, honest thoughts that have to come out, especially if, like, by nature, I think everybody's pretty fucked up, not gonna lie. And something that we can always relate on is that that's a fact. All of us have our childhood traumas. We have our mistakes. We have our current lifestyle habits that should change, and maybe some that shouldn't. And who knows why? Why? You know what I mean? Like, it's all these
Totally.
things. And I asked you earlier when I was like, "Hey, Jack, like, what do you think when it comes to like how you're currently living and like living in the everyday is kind of the point, but then working on yourself as you do that. Do you ever find it overwhelming to be like, hey, okay, every day is like so much hard work just on you? Because it's one thing to create a content video, whatever you call it, Instagram Reelio and stuff. Like, that's one thing. And that's pretty, like, there's a science to that. I don't know if there's a science to what we're talking about. So, do you find it challenging to like do the hard work while actually doing other work for your career? Does that make sense? Like, there's you, and then there's like your career.
Totally. I totally feel that. But also I'm like, but maybe that hard work in myself is that's what's leading to this social media presence and to all of this. So I think they definitely correlate with the with each other, you know. I think, and people can see right through the camera if you're being transparent and open and honest about your struggles. I feel like those two are definitely related, but I think it totally just makes it so much more difficult, having to balance your mind while keeping this presence, while keeping this social life. There's so many things to think about, but I also think that like your mind comes first, your mental health definitely comes first, and it's really difficult to get these other things done if you're not in a right headspace. So I definitely, when I feel like I am spiraling, I quickly try to like find anything to help, you know, with, and yes, talking to someone like that totally helps. I think my mom is like a big person that I like to talk to, because she's just very smart and understanding and will listen and would never ever judge for anything I'd ever say. But yeah.
I love that you say, I mean, especially when you're you first. And it helps your career. That's a huge point to be made. A lot of people that are personalities like you or try to build a brand online. I used to say this all the time. Not everybody needs to be an online personality. Let me call it for what it is. And you know that damn well. Is your twin doing this stuff too?
Social media. He was for a bit. He was really good at it, but he didn't enjoy it as much.
See, not always for everybody, even when you're twins and you look the same and you guys could have built a whole brand on that. Where I'm getting at though is it's like, I do think there's an added, what do you call it, component of stress per se when you are the personality and you are the one people are looking at, and then you have to kind of separate the two. And so that was a great point you made. You bring up mom. So then on mom and dad, do I mean, it sounds like they're just like great parents to you, but do you think any part of them being in the military, my dad was in the Air Force, so like any part of them being in the military has a direct impact to how you are becoming a man in
Oh,
any shape or form, how you were brought up?
totally, 100%. Yeah. But they also, I think when we're younger, they gave more like military. But I think what's so cool about them is that they know how to change with the time. You know, they're very, I don't know, open and progressive. And I don't know, I've noticed like I've seen like a big change in myself and my parents. You know, I feel like they're understanding more and learning more. I think like a big thing is that a lot of parents don't they kind of just they're stuck and they don't want to move past this one thing. But I love that's what I love about my parents is that they're open to new things and yeah, trying out different things. You know, I don't know. They're very, I love them. They're very cool.
Oh, shout out to the parents.
Yeah.
It's interesting because like military parents a lot of times aren't able to like quote unquote catch up to the times, especially when your
Oh,
child's a social media star.
yeah. Totally,
What
yeah.
have they said about like your life in social media? Are they like in favor of it? My dad to this day didn't, he can give two shits about Instagram, you know?
They're very supportive about it. They're constantly, yeah, constantly helping me. I think when we started, they're like, they were a little, I don't know, they just didn't really know much about it. And they've always been supportive of like everything we've done. But they knew what I wanted to pole vault in college and do all that, you know, live the college lifestyle. And then it all changed. And I was like, I don't know if I, like maybe I should go to college, because I don't want to make my parents upset. But they were not like that at all. They were just completely supportive of me. And yeah, I'm so thankful to have them, you know.
Oh, shout out number two. And no, I'm kidding. You know, as you look at looking at yourself in the mirror is a really challenging thing, right? I think that I practiced this last year where I was like, let me just like make sure that I'm good. And a lot of times, great strategy for that, standing in front of a mirror, right? Morning, evening, whatever, and just being like, yo, am I good? I don't look that great. You know what I mean? Or like, oh, shame. You know, I gotta get another haircut. No, I'm kidding. But it's like just like checking in with yourself is so important. It seems like you're really good at that. Then I'm like, okay, well, as you look forward to everything that's coming up, right? It's a brand spanking new year. Some people are super overwhelmed and already anxious about what hasn't happened yet. And it sounds like you and your perspective in living day by day has kind of carried you. So then, like the benefits of living day to day while also having like a really mature introspection on your mental health. I mean, that's what we've learned from you today, which I'm very grateful for. But help to like help me help us encourage those listening, you know what I mean? And like, what is it about taking it one day at a time that has helped you when it comes to your mental health?
I think it's so important to have these like these big goals, but also to reach these big goals. I mean, it's like it's little moments that count towards these big goals. So every day, like whether it's waking up early or meditating, going to the gym, having these like little set goals for yourself, it totally, I don't know, it helps you reach it in the future, you know? So I don't like I think it's also great to have long-term goals. But I think my main focus is yeah, every single day and how I can what I can do in a day to get to this long-term goal, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
But yeah, it is very difficult, but I think that's helped me a lot is like just living in the moment and having these like little goals set for me, that once I reach, it's like a little serotonin release, you know.
The best happiness hormone. Usually serotonin too, they say it's like that will only happen when you're still. It's the best, right? It's like you could be meditating, you could be stretching after a workout. Usually music helps, right? If you have like a nice joyful instrumental or like coffee table jazz or something, serotonin's like, I think it's the best happiness hormone.
Oh, I love it.
Dopamine's too quick, right?
Yeah.
Endorphins only really happen through activity. So you have to be walking or exercising or something like that. And then oxytocin, I'm not going to lie, I forgot that one, that like what that even is. So here's my fun. I'd say it again.
I said, you're very educated on this. I love it.
You're funny. This is why I have to host this podcast. No, I'm kidding. it's funny. There's someone I'll introduce you to later, but his name is Kevin. We had another podcast. It was called Luminosity. And out of 19 weeks straight, there was a lot of research done. You know what I mean? So then I'm like, yeah, let's go back to Men of the Hour, interview Jack, and then like literally just try to make more sense of these kind of conversations, which this has been absolutely phenomenal.
That's awesome. Which that's what I love so much about like these podcasts, like what you're doing, is that I wish when I was a kid that I could watch something like this and be like, I'm not alone, you know?
And now people can watch you.
So you're doing a great thing.
Aw, I'm going to keep you around. Listen, I have one more question. And it's funny. It's not even funny. It's ironic that you bring up like when you were a kid, you wish. I'm going to hold myself accountable to this for every episode beyond 123 at this point. I want to ask you if you could tell your younger self something today, after all that you've learned about your mental health, what would you tell your younger self? Maybe not even your youngest self, to be honest. It would be your 17-year-old self right before you blow up on social media.
Yeah. That's a good question. I feel like you're not alone. I feel like that's a little too cliche. Probably set your boundaries. You know.
That's it.
Work on setting your boundaries. Yeah.
Because that can look a lot of different ways. And you brought it up earlier too. You brought up both of those things. You were like, yeah, I wish like I felt alone. That's why I would then spiral and have all these like negative thoughts and things like that. And then on top of it, to your second point, being able to like set boundaries, and even mentally, it's like compartmentalizing. It's funny. I had that written down here too, something we would have talked about today, and it naturally came up anyway. I appreciate you so much. Really cannot thank you enough for coming onto this podcast. It could have went, oh, you're very welcome. No, I'm kidding. We'll be best friends after this watch. I really admire that you're so young and you're able to have these conversations. So I appreciate you for opening up. To anybody who's listening, if there's anything we didn't drop, especially with things that he'll be working on this year, they'll be in the show notes below. Everything will be linked. If you heard any commercial breaks, amazing. They're also downstairs in the show notes. And I'm so glad you guys hang on to this podcast when you did. If you came from Jack's side of the house, I appreciate you for listening. We appreciate you for listening and tuning in. And then if you are, more importantly, have been following the show for years and keep coming back, I really appreciate you. Can't wait for you guys to hear from our next guest. But right now, this was Jack Wright. And yeah, I'm excited to watch everything that's coming for your future. I just know it's already going to be so great.
Thank you. That means so much. And thank you for being so open and honest with me. You made me feel really comfortable talking.
Oh, yeah. This was such a good conversation.
I was like on a Zoom. I was like in person.
You forgot you were on the Zoom. That's crazy, folks. We're still on Zooms doing these podcasts. So, Jack, I really appreciate you. And thanks again.
Thank you.
Hey friends, Justin again. Well, that was the conversation today, and I hope you took plenty away from it. For those who keep coming back to this podcast, I want to say thank you for always being here and growing with my guests and I over the years. And if you're new to the Men of the Hour show, thank you for being here, and I'd love for you to come back next time by clicking that subscribe button. Oh, and for all of us tuning in right now, I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode by leaving a rating and review right where you're listening. Until next week, I'm your host, Justin Crawford. Continue taking care of yourself and inspiring others to do the same.